Well, welcome to the Killer Frogs, a podcast all about TCU athletics from the fans' point of view. My name is Sean Fouché, and this is episode 160 for, let's see, what is today's date? September 7th of 2021. And on tonight's podcast, we've got the boss, Ryan Zeller. Hey, Ryan.
Hey, we survived the heat on Saturday.
Yeah, well, you guys survived. I actually had to stay home. We talked about that later, but... I hear this upcoming weekend's game is going to be even warmer, so that'll be
awesome.
That'll be exciting. And I'm waiting for the Star Telegram. I'm waiting for the Star Telegram to write their annual TCU fans punk out because of the weather article. So that'll be interesting to see.
Well, you know what? Did you see how they did not have any football articles on Sunday morning?
Yeah, we can talk about that later on. But I was kind of surprised the Star Telegram was still in business when you guys mentioned that. But anyway. Also on tonight's podcast, we've got Nathan Hernandez. How you doing, Nathan?
You know, I just got a massage, so I'm feeling pretty great.
Lucky.
That must be nice.
Yeah.
Very nice. Thank you for that. We also have Hunter Nix. Hey, Hunter.
What's going on?
Not
we're back.
Much.
I'm Sam Ellinger. sorry.
Hey, no UT. Analogies allowed on this podcast.
Yeah, right? Sorry, guys.
Yeah, that's okay. And rounding out tonight's panel, we've got TCU Hall of Famer WC Nix. Hey, Dubber.
Hey, 1-0, baby. 1-0. Starting it off right. Yep.
Hey, we sure.
No, we did it right, too. So we'll talk about that later. But the 1-0 was a good 1-0. There could have been a bad 1-0, really. But I felt
we've
like
had them before.
Yes. Well, I did. I feel really good after this game. So,
yeah, I think a lot of Frog fans woke up Sunday morning feeling pretty good about the prospects for the season. So, and you're right, we will get into that in just a few minutes. But we'll start off tonight with a little bit of recruiting news. Hunter?
Yeah, so, you know, we haven't had any new really recruiting news this week, but wanted to go over just one of our recruits who had a monster game this week. He's a 5'11", 182-pound running back, three-star from Neville, Louisiana. Do you guys remember who else was from there?
Neville, Louisiana?
Yep, Neville High School.
Oh, Neville High School. Was that Chucky?
That was Turpin.
Turpin. Oh.
The same high school as Turpin. Yes, Dad. Oh, somehow.
Nice. Dad remembered that one. That would remember that.
That is a little bit scary. He just had a monster game last week. They played a big program in Louisiana, Ruston. And he scored actually the game-winning touchdown about his time, you know, with about a minute left on a 62-yard TD catch. He also had 140 yards rushing and a TD there and a kickoff return for a TD, 295 total yards. And so, you know, just had a really big game. He's I am picking him as my, like, surprise for the class. He's not very highly ranked. Last year he was behind a guy who ended up going to college somewhere else and didn't have much tape because of COVID. So, yeah, he's going to be the steal of our class, I think, and he has had a big year up to this point. So, very excited for him. A.J. Allen, remember that name.
A good name.
Cool.
Yeah, it is a good name. Good stats, too. Jeez. Be nice to have another guy like that on the team.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, let's just get right into week one here because, you know, football is back, and I think all of us were very excited to start off Saturday morning, got to watch a lot of really good games. And, of course, we got to cap it off with a wonderful night at the Carter, or at least some of us did. Again, we talk about that later. But before we get into TCU's game against Duquesne, let's go around the horn a little bit and let's talk about what the rest of the Big 12 did. And, Hunter, why don't you start us off with Texas.
Texas was probably one of the only teams that – did what they should have done, at least as far as the box score goes. You know, they took care of Louisiana, who was a pretty good team, and Hudson Carr, the true freshman quarterback, played pretty well for them. So they came out and took care of business, actually.
Yeah, I'm kind of glad we get to see a different quarterback for Texas this year.
Definitely.
I'll be even happier to see him on his back when they come into town in week five. So that'll be fun.
Agreed.
Yes. And so outside of Texas and then, of course, OU. And OU, I'll be honest with you, they really didn't start off as a barn burner in their game. they look like they had some trouble there coming out of the
game. Yeah, they got pretty hot, and then it slowed down quick.
I mean, at the end of the game, Tulane had the ball. They were a half yard from another first down. They had their chances. They had Oklahoma on the ropes.
Which is uncharacteristic for Oklahoma.
Well, you know, everybody starts talking about how great their defense is, and that's where it's going to be so improved. I mean, either Tulane's got a really good offense, or Oklahoma's got a lot of work to do on defense still.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it is only week one. So, I mean, obviously, yes, you know, you've got a lot of teams that are overlooking other teams. You've got a lot of question marks, maybe some people that are out for injury or health issues, things like that. You can't really read the tea leaves in a week one game like this. But yeah, it was kind of uncharacteristic for them. Now, again, on another team, let's talk about the other team that's kind of set up to be the number one, number two team, which is Iowa State. They always seem to come out of the gate really slow. And there was absolutely no change in their MO here this week in week one.
You know, they're consistent.
Very consistent.
That's the one thing. You know, when I saw that score, I was like, yeah, but it's Iowa State. They did that last year. They did year before. Like you said, it seems like every year they're lucky to get past the first two or three games, and one of them usually they don't, you know. But, you know, so I'm with you. I don't read – now, I might read in with some other teams at times. I don't read in with Iowa State because I think they'll get better as they go on through the year.
And I think they also had a case of looking ahead a little bit. They play Iowa this week. They're actually the College game day game. So, you know, it looks like they were probably doing a little bit more Iowa work than they were doing for Northern Iowa or Northern Illinois?
Northern Iowa.
Northern Iowa.
Northern Iowa.
It was an in-state game.
Directional school, you know. Whoever that was, they were looking ahead to Iowa, it seems like. And definitely they start slow, but you know, I watched a little bit of that game, and it looked like they were just running the very bread and butter plays, just trying to get by.
Very bread and butter, and it almost bit them in the back end because they
it almost you know, did
towards the end with a few minutes left to go in the fourth quarter. Northern Iowa's got the ball with a chance to go down and score, and if it wasn't for that interception, that really horribly thrown ball by their quarterback, who knows what would have happened on that drive? So. It was very interesting to see that, but not surprising, as we said. It is kind of their MO to start the season. I don't know if you guys saw any of the Baylor game against Texas State. I saw the first quarter of that game. Baylor did not look good in that one either. They ended up coming back, but, I mean, it was just – that first quarter was just – what are they thinking? They were giving Texas State way too many chances, and it just didn't look good at all in the first quarter for Baylor.
I didn't see that one at all, so I just saw the score at the end of the game.
Well, I took one for the team by watching it for you. So. But, Baylor's going to be interesting just simply because of how many changes have been done at that team this year, and they've got something they have to prove, but I don't know if they've got the personnel to be able to do it. So we'll see how they kind of shake out as the season goes on. I think one big surprise from everybody was the West Virginia game.
Yeah. I was very, very disappointed about that, unfortunately. They had a chance to win it, but didn't.
It just looked like they kept shooting themselves in the foot. I mean, I think they'll play better too, but you're right. I mean, I think I was probably more disappointed in that game than in any of the games. Because I want all our – well, let me rephrase that.
I wanted everybody to win.
I want all our Big 12 brethren to win. There's two of them I could care less if they ever win again now. But the rest of them I still want to win, you know, out of conference. And so, you know, I was kind of disappointed with that.
Yeah, I mean, when you lose the turnover battle 4-0, it's tough to come back from that. So that they were even in the game, you know, giving up 4 turnovers, that's pretty rough.
Yeah,
it really is. I mean, outside of that, I think for the most part, all the games pretty much went – to plan as far as what we were expected. Sorry, Deborah, what were you going to say?
No, I was going to say I was reading a little bit about Tech. They not everybody had them beating Houston. So So really? I think that was a bit of a surprise to some people. I really didn't pay much attention to that game, but obviously Houston has a good team and Tech's not supposed to be that good this year. So I was glad to see them win.
Well, did you guys hear about Kansas?
Yeah, Kansas.
Oh, they won. They're first they in like how many field. Years?
Stormed the field when they beat South Dakota.
I'm so happy for them. Remember that year they beat Texas? That was amazing. That wasn't too long ago either.
You know what? I hope they beat Texas this year.
I yep. do too.
Hey, sorry, South Dakota State gave us fits when they came here.
They did.
Yeah, South Dakota is not a bad team. But it's good to see Kansas start the season off on a good foot.
Would K-State play?
Yeah, and they looked good.
K-State, they played
Stanford.
Yeah, Stanford.
Yeah. So that was a good game.
Oh, yeah.
They dominated from like the beginning.
Let me tell you, that's who really surprised me more than everybody as far as looking good. They did. They looked good. I mean, I was like, whoa, you know, K-State might have something this year. You know, that's a good coach they got. I mean, the coach that they got hired in, he's a winner. And, you know, K-State, well, they played awfully well.
Yeah,
it would be nice if Kansas weren't pulling up the rear this year and if Kansas State could actually get hot. I think that would bode very well for the future of this conference if both those teams can finally catch fire at some point in time. Obviously not beat TCU, but you know, if they exceed expectations, so to speak, for the season, that'd be good. But you're right. I mean, Kansas State was one that really kind of were a bit surprising as far as the game that they played against Stanford. But I don't know how much that says about K-State versus how much it says about Stanford. So, again, it's kind of hard to read the tea leaves here in week one. But overall,
especially when, you know, Gary Patterson and the Frogs are 7-0 against Pac-12 teams. So,
yeah, that's true. As a TCU fan, it's kind of hard to, are really hard tea leaves to read.
Exactly. We don't realize how tough that schedule is, I guess, because we don't lose to the Pac-12.
Well, I tell you, I, for one, we haven't talked about conference realignment on this podcast. I think we'll probably pick that up next week because it seems like some of the news is finally moving this week. So we'll finally get to that. But I'll be honest with you. Getting into the Pac-12 is not something that I was really interested in because of the schedule. And those of us who went through the age of the WAC, that's not exactly something I want to repeat for TCU fans. But yeah, I mean, just going back and taking a look at just the Pac itself, I'm not really interested in that conference at all. I'm more interested in seeing what we can do here, which is why I guess the Tech and the Houston game was kind of interesting, simply the fact that Houston's thrown around as one of the possible expansion teams, which again, we'll talk about this next week. It's not really something I'm really interested in seeing them do that, but it was curious just to see how all that kind of played out. And again, even that Tech game, you know, Tech, I never really thought Tech would lose that game. I wasn't one of those who thought that Houston had a chance in that game, but at the same time, you know, what does that game really say about Tech and what does it really say about Houston? I don't know. We'll see week two, week three, week four, but it was an interesting week one around the Big 12. And of course, week one here in Fort Worth was, I guess, some people kind of called it a ho-hum kind of a game, but I think WC said it the best at the beginning of our podcast before we started tonight, which was we did what we were supposed to do. And I think that was something that each of us were looking for. If you go back to last week's podcast, we wanted to see this team come out. We wanted to see the offense do what it did. We wanted to see the defense do what it did. And we didn't want to see a lot of fanfare and a lot of drama, and we didn't want to keep this team, you know, around for any length of time whatsoever in this game. And I think on all particular accounts, except for maybe one or two areas where it wasn't perfect, that was about as close to a really great week one game for the Frogs as we could possibly get.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a clean game. It was good.
Yeah. Yeah, ho-hum was exactly what we needed there. It didn't have to be flashy. We just lined up, were better, and showed it, which is, you know, it's kind of been a while, I feel like, since we've had one of those games where we've just absolutely dominated someone from, you know, from the first whistle till the end, which, you know, I'm glad we did. That's what we needed to do.
Well, I got to tell you, I already felt good about it, Sean, because you weren't there. But before the game ever started, Neighbor House Groceries brought street tacos. and they were unbelievable.
God, they were. Oh, they my were. Gosh.
You felt good because I wasn't there. That's.
Hey, let me tell you, they were some of the best tacos I've ever eaten.
And then the
they really were. I'm just telling you, it was their food. The food was great. I mean, it was great. And then Clint's brought us their cookies, little TCU cookies. And of course, I knew about them, so I was already partial to Clint's.
Well, maybe I should explain to the listeners what happened. So a couple weeks ago, my son tested positive for COVID. He's fine, by the way. Not a problem. 72 hours later, he was bouncing around the house like he normally would have. But my wife and I ended up catching COVID as well. So our end of our quarantine period was actually the night we're actually recording this podcast. So obviously, I couldn't get to the game. Definitely wasn't going to be allowed up at the press box for that. So I missed the first home game for me in the last 8 years. So you guys are really rubbing it in there with the tailgate scene. So
and we had our first sponsor. We had our first sponsored meal from Neighbor's House Grocery, and I didn't know what to expect, but it was great. It went good. If you can get over to their place, it's unbelievable. They're off of 7th Street, and it is good food. It's a grocery, but it's a deli. Got great wines, everything like that. But, you know, coming from a grocery, I just kept thinking, what's this going to be like? You know,
sandwiches? Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah, exactly. And I'm going to tell you, it was awesome. I mean,
it was high-end for sure.
It was very high-end.
Well, those chocolate chip cookies, though, if people could actually see us on camera, they were as big as your face.
Yes.
They were huge, and they were good. So yeah. Well, and then the fruit was really good, too. Everything was was just so – they just handled it so well. Both owners delivered it and stood around and chatted for a little while, brought koozies, and just the delivery and preparation and hospitality was just wonderful. That's why you want to buy from, you know, a neighborhood grocer versus, you know, necessarily a chain. They're just so much more personal.
Well, it sounds to me that you guys had a much better experience with our great sponsor than a lot of the TCU fans had in the Champions Club.
Oh, what happened?
Did you guys see all those tweets to Donati? You know, apparently there were long lines at the bar. A lot of people were upset about it. They were short-staffed at the last second, and Donati had to do an apology tour on Twitter about it. It was the most ridiculous thing I ever heard. You know, again, you know, people complaining about the bar service at a TCU game, but yeah.
They're lucky they have a bar.
Well, the service was great over at the tailgate, and the tacos were even better.
We had plenty of food. We had plenty of beverage. If you didn't want the big cookies, you had the little glitz cookies with the TCU on them. Yeah, the sugar cookies, and so, you know, hey, by the time I got in, I was full. I was feeling good, and then we went right into the game, and TCU did what they were supposed to. By the time the second quarter was over, the game was over, basically, and, you know, we got to see some other players play, and, you know, that was fun, you know, just see, you know, I guess we saw all four quarterbacks. Yeah. We saw all four of them.
We did. Well, let's go back to the first quarter here real quick, because the very first series, TCU loses the toss first off, which I don't remember the last time we lost a coin toss in the opening game. It's been a while. So we lose the coin toss. They defer. We get the ball first. And let me put this out here. That opening drive by Duggan and the offense – even though there were several times where it looked like Duquesne may have had us stopped, third and long, there was one fourth down conversion within that particular drive. There was not, and I don't know how it felt in the stadium, but watching it at home on ESPN Plus, which, by the way, if you ever watch ESPN Plus and Ryan Leaf is the announcer, mute it. That's all I'm going to say. But anyway, so I didn't know how it felt in the stadium, but sitting at home, I never really felt like I was nervous that we weren't going to get a conversion. It really felt from the very beginning Duggan had that ball, it felt like we're going to go down and we're going to score on this. And it doesn't matter if it's third and nine or fourth and five. I didn't feel nervous about any of it. Did it feel that same way in the stadium?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I love this kind of game.
It was from the opening whistle. Mm-hmm. We did exactly what we should have done, dominated. They had no chance and they knew it. And it was great. Amari came out, played really well, scored his first TD as a Frog this year. So, that was actually in his career. So yeah, mm-hmm. Amari DiMercado, he's been here forever, it seems like, and this mm-hmm. is his first TD as a Frog. So, you know, exciting for him. He played really well. And then the other two backs, you know, obviously played great. Evans and Kendry Miller, you know, there's just so much talent on this team. It was really spread out. It was awesome.
We saw all kinds of backs. I mean, the second, you know, I didn't know if y'all realized, I mean, I'm sure Sean picked up on it, but I didn't know if everybody picked up in the stadium if you weren't listening. You know, they cut off 3 minutes off the third quarter and 3 minutes off the fourth quarter just because, you know, they're a smaller school. They don't have as much depth as we do. And, you know, I understand that. And they were already starting to get beat up. So, you know, they cut 3 minutes off the first, third and fourth quarters, which.
The Heat really got to them, too.
Yeah.
The Heat definitely played a part in that. They were huffing and puffing from the get-go.
Yeah. And what a lot of people don't know, if you've never been on the field at Amon Carter Stadium, it's not like a lot of different stadiums out there. There is not a whole lot of breeze or wind down in that lower bowl area. On top mm-hmm. of that, it's natural turf. So you've got all that humidity just kind of coming right off of the grass. It's easily a good 15 degrees hotter down there on field level than it is where you are in the stands. So for those fans who are up there and it's like 95, 97 degrees, imagine it 110, 112, 115 right there in the lower bowl on the field. And that's what it's like. And so I can't imagine that, you know, a lot of these opponents who don't really have to deal with this sort of level of heat and humidity are just, absolutely. They're just not really prepared to handle four straight quarters like that.
Let me tell you, I mean, I don't care how you played. You held them to 24 yards, total yards in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
Your defense is doing pretty good, too. 24 total yards. I mean, you know, I looked up. I just couldn't believe that. 20. And then, like you said, third quarter, they did that one pass and that tripled their yardage or doubled their yardage or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, that was a pass interference. It should have been an offensive pass interference.
100% of the way.
Yeah.
There was no way they were calling it. But I tell you what I did like, really. It still wasn't a perfect game. So
no.
Today and you know, this week, let me just tell you, he'll have plenty of stuff to gripe about. Patterson will have plenty of stuff to go to town. He'll have plenty of stuff to, you know, get him, you know, it wasn't a perfect, flawless game, but we just dominated. We should have. We have better talent, and that's just, you know, we did what we were supposed to, but that's what I kept thinking. I'd say, all right, well, we didn't do that one perfect. We dropped a pass here. We did that there. You know, we got blocked here, got kicked out, you know, whatever, you know, but we did just enough. But he'll have plenty to argue about or yell about this week, but happy with the performance, really.
Yeah. I don't know how much he's going to argue about the offensive performance outside of Duggan throwing a pass where he shouldn't have even attempted that. Trying to force that in there for that interception along the goal line. But from a defensive perspective, I think there's quite a lot that he needs to go over because there were a couple of busted coverages that happened in the secondary that would have gone for big yardage had their quarterback had been any way, shape or form close to being accurate.
Yeah.
And some of the play out of the defensive line I thought was rather pedestrian at times. I didn't really feel like they just dominated the offensive line. And I don't know if that was just because they were just trying to stay close to home, just trying to bottleneck some of those running lanes. I don't know what they were trying to do, but it was not the type of play I was expecting out of this defensive line going into this game. I was expecting a whole lot more pressure than we actually got out of that. But again, I mean, with the cornerbacks that we've got, and I think we've got some of the question marks solved at the safety position, the defense looked great in that first half, But again, I think there are definitely a lot of areas that Patterson is going to be going over the tape for this week before we get to Cal.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I can't be too upset with 127 yards or whatever, 3 points, but definitely you would have wanted to see a little bit more pressure out of the DNs. We only had one sack against a very pedestrian offense, but at the same time, I think we were also so bread and butter this whole game. There was just not much going on. We weren't showing much, and not saying we really needed to do a bunch of crazy blitzes to get sacks this game.
I don't think we had one blitz all game long, did we?
We had one or two.
We had one or two, but not tons. Yeah. It was very few. But at the same time, I would love to see us get a few more sacks, but that'll come. We were close to the quarterback. We were close, and luckily they couldn't take advantage of those, missed coverages, whatever we had on the secondary early on.
Yeah.
Well, on the offense, Sean, I saw a few missed blocks, offensive line.
We had one huge missed block on the offensive line. Remember that one big guy from Duquesne just kind of roaring right in, didn't get touched at all.
And there was a couple of the wide receivers, and we had some drops that would have been tough catches, but they were drops. So it's first game of the season. You're never gonna play perfect. But at the end of the season, you're probably never gonna play perfect. But we did what we're supposed to do, and they cleaned up some of that stuff. The interesting thing will be next week, Cal is going to be better than Duquesne. So the speed, the quarterback, the everything, it's all going to be better. So it's how fast we adjust again to that speed and that quarterback and this and that. Because you're right, Sean, there was a couple of times when I'm like, that quarterback's bad, because if he just hit that guy that was wide open, they'd have ran for, 30 yards at least, before anybody even touched them. So I agree with you out there. But that stuff, of course, that's kind of Patterson's defense MO anyway. He leaves them guys out on the island. Sometimes they get confused.
That's true.
Leaves them open.
That's true. But, one of the things I talked about last week was that we wanted to be able to see that the offense could score at will, right? And have confidence that with all the playmakers that are on this offense, that we could hand the ball off, or Duggan can get a good 3 seconds and find Johnson or Spielman or Davis or one of these guys and connect, be accurate, and move the ball. Because we're going to be in situations where the defense isn't going to be able to hold somebody to 120 yards for a game and 3 points. We're going to get into a lot of shootouts this season, and you need an offense to be able to keep up with that. As long as the defense is, like you said, Patterson's bend don't break philosophy, I think we're good. So I'm happy. Don't get me wrong. Don't make me sound like I'm unhappy with the performance on Saturday. I'm thrilled with it, and I agree. It was, the game wasn't over at halftime. It was over before the end of the first quarter.
Yeah.
But overall, I think there are some areas that are going to be interesting to see how they address them going forward, especially the secondary in the defense, and just what they're going to do with that defensive line. Because, Hunter, I agree with you. We didn't really show a whole lot. There wasn't a whole lot of stunts or crazy stuff that were happening on the line, but it would be nice to see a little bit more intensity out of that particular unit this Saturday.
Definitely.
Yep. I agree with you wholeheartedly there.
And going into Cal, honestly, I feel like this is a good time to just start on them. They're an offensive team that's going to run the football if they can. They had to throw a lot last week because they got down, but they're not trying to take the top off the offense. They're completing short passes. In fact, I think I saw a few people on our board saying that they threw more screens to running backs than Meacham does. So, we haven't seen as many of those. We didn't see any of those really this week, but, they're a power run team. They're not a spread it out and try to beat you with speed. And I think that plays into our favor.
Definitely. Well, especially since they've got to come here And you know, that turf's going to slow them down. They're not going to be able to do as quick of a cut as they think they can.
Well, what team is going to slow them down is that heat.
Yeah.
At about the first quarter, they're going to go, oh, my goodness, what are we doing out here?
Yeah. And then they had 100
degrees at kickoff. Isn't that right?
Yeah. It's going to be hot.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy.
I like it. I'm glad it's going to be blistering. Mm-hmm. We are to be all right.
Sean, you sure you don't need to just stay home? I can go back up in the press box. That works.
Yeah.
The AC is terrible up
there. I had a big-time problem with just Nevada's speed. And we're faster than Nevada. They had a lot of trouble just with the spread it out type of offense. And, you know, I see us throwing a little bit this week and kind of spreading it out because they're not very fast. They're a big team who's meant to stop the run. And, yeah, that's kind of what they play. They play old school football, which I feel like that suits us very well on both sides of the ball because we're built with speed.
Yep.
Well, a lot of running, you're going to end up with a couple of issues. Obviously, you're going to have the clock running a lot, but if they run and it's a lot of three and outs, their defense is going to spend a lot of time.
They're going to be gassed.
Absolutely. And it was nice to see, going back to this week, it was really nice to see how Meacham kind of got them into an up-tempo where we were able to take some time in that first series, and then as things started kind of coming together, Duggan was calling plays quickly. Get to the line and go. Get to the line and go. And it was good to see that immediate just kind of switch to an up-tempo game. Something that we really have not done a really good job of making that switch in the last couple of years. And to see that right out of the gate and have it happen in not just the first series, but a couple series throughout that first half, that was encouraging. And you're right. If we could do that with Cal, that's going to really mess with them because they are not built defensively to be able to handle that sort of tempo change.
None, not at all. And, you know, we really haven't seen it since 2017 with Kenny in his senior year. We ran a lot of up-tempo that year, and, you know, that just happened to be the last year we had a really good offense, it seemed like. So, you know, if we can set the tempo early, I feel really good about this game. They don't have any playmakers that just really scare me anywhere. They just kind of play their style and, you know, they got to hope they score quick or they got to hope they score on us because if they don't and they get down, it could get ugly.
Well, the minute they get down 2-3 scores, I don't know if they can battle their way back from a 3-score deficit. So TCU's got to get up quick in this game. Just keep the foot on their neck and just do not let them back up. That's what I really want to see in this game is I want that kind of killer instinct out of this offense and out of the defense.
And against a, you know, a more quality opponent. They're not, you know, these guys aren't world beaters. They lost last week to a group of five team, but at the same time, they're a step up from Duquesne. This is the next step. And then, you know, SMU is going to be an even tougher step. So we really need to take this game seriously and kind of get some good work in.
You know what I liked about going back to the last game? You know what I really liked, you know, talking about everything? How many times did Duggan run the ball?
Once,
twice. Okay.
The one for touchdown.
That's what I like right there. Touchdown, and I don't know, maybe one other time. He didn't get hit. That's what we need. We need playmakers making plays. We need running backs running the ball, and then Duggan – every once in a while to keep him honest.
Yeah, he almost had a sweet block. That
yeah, I know. He needs to get out of the way, though. He's our quarterback. He just needs to – he needs to get out of the way. You don't get hurt on something stupid like that.
Did you just see how excited he was? How quick he got down the field to help block?
I love it that he loves – I mean, you love it as a player that your quarterback's not scared to get out there and try to mix it up a little bit. But at the same time, you don't want to get hurt. You know, I mean, you know, out there blocking, you know. Mm. You know, I'm like, oh, man, just move out of the way. Just kind of run in front of them. If it doesn't work, just keep running. Get out of the way.
Well, it was nice to see because that play was not designed to go left in any way, shape, or form. And with Dave Mercado just immediately reversed direction of the field, it was he just turned on the afterburners and tried to get downfield to put a hat on somebody. So That was fun to see. But you're right. He probably shouldn't be putting himself in that position.
Well, I think this game is probably going to be close for the first quarter. I think we'll have to get a feel for just a little more speed, a little more this, a little more that. I hope I'm wrong. But then I think after that, I think we'll get our footing. Now, I say that, Meacham, you know, going wide open. If we score right off the bat, you know, we might just keep scoring, you know. But, you know, I felt like there was some opportunistic stuff that happened for us in the first game that might not necessarily happen the second game with a better opponent. So, but I think by the time it's all over with, I think we put the hurt on them.
Yeah, I agree. Ryan, how about you? What do you want to see out of this particular game on Saturday?
Well, right now my neighbor is mowing their yard, so it's incredibly loud. So I may have to go back on mute.
We can't hear fine. It, so you're like, okay.
It's well, I've been on mute, so I think he's taking a break. I just want to see the least amount of penalties, as Patterson would say, no knucklehead moves, you know, that the players have. I just a clean game. I feel like I don't have to put it out there that I want us to win. Obviously, I want us to win. I think we'll win. So aside from that, just completed passes, just good stats for these guys, since this team's not very good. Clean game, because if it's a messy win, that's really going to worry me about SMU. I think SMU is going to be they're going to be out to get us this year again. I mean, last year wasn't good, and then this year they're likely going to get left out of the conference realignment, and they've got good momentum, and I think they're coming for us. So we'll see.
Yeah, I wonder how many other players will arrive in Fort Worth and Trans Ams.
Right. Hey, it probably could be illegal. I mean, it could be legal now.
Yeah.
So they get it this time.
This is crazy. This is true. Yeah, I agree. Clean game. And, you know, if things went a little bit differently, we, especially in that first drive, we could have talked about, you know, the holding penalty that immediately, right out of the gate, very first play on the kickoff, we had a hold on special teams. We had another hold, mm-hmm. I think, at some point in time in that particular first series as well. There were only a few real major penalties in that game on TCU. But again, it never really felt like the offense was going to be really hindered by that like it has been in the past. I mean, even some of these FCS teams that we had played in the past, you had a holding penalty and you're looking at a first and 20. We're all kind of scratching our heads. Can the offense even come up with 20 yards to get a first down in three plays? Mm-hmm. But on Saturday night, I really didn't feel that. And that kind of goes back to what my original comment was, just sitting at home watching the game. I never was really nervous about what the offense was able to do, just simply because of the way that Dugan was able to take the reins and move them down the field. And the amount of weapons that we have on this team are really, really good. But I think that's a good point. Really clean game. Nathan, how about you? We haven't heard from you in a while. What do you want to see out of Saturday?
I just don't want to see another Cheez It Bowl.
Nobody wants to see
a Cheez It Bowl. You can't really go down from there. So as long as we don't play Cal like we did last time, I think we're good. But no, for real, I don't know. I just want to see us keep the momentum going. We had obviously some plays that you wish you had back, drop balls, overthrows, out of bounds throws, whatever. But I still think they did a lot. Max made some throws up the seam that we've been wanting to see. The one on the goal line, you know, I think it was kind of testing the hot hand. And I obviously can't do that against better teams, but I don't know. I just want to see us keep playing well. I think our running backs got into a good rhythm, pretty much all of them, from what I remember, at least. So as long as we can keep them going, I think we'll be good.
Let me take a quick moment. Let me ask the panel. Going back to the running backs, because we didn't really talk a whole lot about the running backs. I mean, Hunter made a quick mention about how Evans looked and Miller looked. How would you, based on Saturday's performance, where would you rate DeMicardo, Evans, and Miller at this point?
Rate them how? Where would you rank them?
Who's 1, 2, 3 right now in your book?
I think Evans and Miller for 1 and 2.
Yep.
Okay. And well, for what I saw.
Even though I think Miller looked a lot better. I mean, I knew he's good, but I really like the way he runs.
But yeah, he's a fighter.
I will always say this. Evans runs so smooth that when looks like an easy run, a lot of the backs it's going to look a lot tougher. So you'll sit there and you'll look up and you'll think, there's a couple times when I looked at Miller and I'm like, man, he's really getting it. Evans didn't quite look like that. I was like, yeah, but Evans would take the same run and make it look so much easier because he's so smooth and he's so gifted that he kind of lulls you to sleep thinking, did he really run that good? And then you start thinking about it, look at it, and you think, well, he ran pretty dang good. And I think that's the difference between him and Miller, and then I think him and Miller are 1 and 2 and 3s far back. I mean, I think they're the top two by far. And I think it's close with the
other. Foster still looked good too.
Yeah. Foster did look good. So it was interesting to see all the backs, and I was just curious if you guys kind of thought about the same thing I did, because I definitely would be – Evans would definitely be number one in my book, and then Miller would be number two. But I think it was interesting. I think DeMicardo was really good when he find an edge. Asking him to run straight ahead.
Which was easy in that game, though.
Well, yeah.
That game was really easy because we had them speed. Like, they couldn't keep up with the sideline to sideline, so –
And then it's interesting to see if Cal's the same on Saturday. Cal's going to be a faster team.
I think Cal might not be, but as we get into the season, it'll be harder.
Right. So it'll be interesting to see who starts then on Saturday. Was everybody just kind of a little, I don't know. I kind of question whether or not DeMicardo should have started on Saturday.
Wasn't Evans suspended or something?
Yes.
Was it? Yeah. I didn't hear this.
Doghouse for 2 series.
Okay.
Yeah, he had to sit the first 2 series.
He was a knucklehead, according to
him. Yeah, he was a knucklehead. 2 series knucklehead.
I think that
they also want to show him, hey, you work hard, you're in there, and you're wanting that, blah, blah, blah. I think they do that with some mentality of making them guys think. You know, they want to keep them sharp, I'll say. So, or keep them with a lot of edge or attitude of why they're not starting and stuff like that. I believe there's a few little mental games going on there.
That's good.
Oh, GP do middle games?
It's never happened before, ever. Well, that's great. Okay, so I think we're all on the same page as far as what we want to see out of the Cal game, and definitely what the end result will be. So let's get into some predictions here, kind of coming here to the end of the podcast. And Nathan, let's start with you. What is your prediction for Saturday's game?
This one's hard because I didn't watch Cal play. I don't know. I'm going to go 34-17 TCU.
34-17. Okay.
I think what the spread's like -8, isn't it?
I think it started at -6 initially.
It's now at 9.
Yeah, I was going to say it should be 9. Moving.
Okay.
Yeah, we were talking about this on the board last night, and I think it started at -6. I thought it was going to start -7. It probably will push somewhere closer to probably 12 or 13 before the end of the week.
Yeah, I'll give us a little bit. I'll go 34-17.
Okay. I like that. 34-17. All right, Ryan.
I'm going to go 31-10.
31-10. Okay. Hunter?
I am going 38-14.
Wow, we're all really, really stacked up and really close to one another. How about you, Dubber?
42.
Oh.
2. I'm going to say 42-14.
And I've already put my prediction on the board. I said 42-17 earlier today. So I'm going to stick with that. Not to sound like I'm piggybacking on Dubber, but yeah, I think that's all pretty close to what I'm thinking. It's going to be a good game, and it's going to be a hot one. So make sure you guys get yourself out to Amon Carter Stadium this Saturday at 2:30 for the kickoff. Make sure you wear a lot of sunblock and drink a ton of, let's say, water before the game.
Here has water.
You're going to need it. It's going to be a fun one. We'll see how it goes. All right. Well, with that, Ryan, what's going on with the tailgate? Speaking of tailgating, what's going on with the tailgate this week?
Actually, WC, I'll let you take that one.
No. It's the TBD, to be determined, but I think I've got it worked out. But I'll let you, I'll tell you tomorrow for sure, and then you can put it on there everywhere then. But okay. I think I know which way we're going, but I sure hate to say something and they'd be listening and go, no, that's not where we're going.
No free plugs.
So I just need to. Kidding. I gotta kind of check before, you know, and with the day being a holiday, I just let it lie until the morning.
All right. Well, we're looking forward to that. By the way, for those of you who haven't followed us yet on social media or have checked out the board, go online and go check out killerfrogs.com. And from there, you can find the links to all of our social media accounts. We've got set up with a brand new team who have been doing a fantastic job on Twitter and Instagram. And unfortunately, a lot of the sideline passes this year have not really materialized for a lot of the guys who typically work sideline at TCU. So a lot of those guys are helping us out, and go and check out their content because it has been fantastic, especially for the first game. And we hope to introduce you to some of our new members here as the season moves along. But of course, you can always go to killerfrogs.com and go to the forums, and you can join us there and talk about TCU athletics with the rest of us. And you can put in your own score prediction for this week in the prediction thread. And with that, we have come to the end of the – I'm sorry.
Wait, Ryan's giving thing. Me the – Two more things. So don't forget, in a couple weeks, we're going to have our first podcast that's actually going to be live. And it will be the week that we play SMU. So just don't make plans on Monday night for dinner. Make sure you watch social media and the forum so you know where to go for that live podcast. And then secondly, we are about to launch an app for your iPhone or your Android phone. So that is right around the corner. And then before we go, we do want to read the letter to the opponent. If you can, Sean's so good at storytelling. It's mesmerizing. So this is something that we've wanted to do for a while now. We have a writer who loves it as much as we do and just does a good job with kind of razzing the other team. So we'll read it, and then we're going to post it and tag the opposing team. It'll get good once we hit a Big 12 play, but for now it just kind of is what it is. But it's fun to read, especially since we have the history of the Cheez-It Bowl.
All right, so story time. Letter to the opponent. Dear Golden Bears fans, welcome to the fort. Well, 1 week of football is behind us. How are you feeling? We played an obscured FCS team from the East, and yes, we played a shortened second half, but wow, even in this Texas heat, we had fun. We won by 42 points, had a lot of frogs touch the ball, and both the offense and defense showed us that this is truly our season to shine. But what about you? Yeah, I know you'd rather not talk about that Nevada game. Guess you're okay with starting the season at 0-2. Hope so, because that's the reality. So many of us Frog fans had great travel plans last year. Come out to Berkeley for the holiday weekend, get an easy victory in front of your home crowd, then head north to Napa for some time in the wineries, and perhaps maybe across the bay to your west. But then COVID happened, and our plans got nixed. Well, we still drank wine, but that was last year. Our anticipation has been growing longer than that, though. The last time our two teams met were nearly 3 years ago in the 2018 Cheez-It Bowl. The name of the game was entertaining enough. The game itself, well, I'm at a loss of words to describe what happened in Phoenix on that December night. Was it epic or pathetic? Was it spectacular or a mockery of all things sacred to college football? Was it the best, worst bowl game ever? Or was it the most beautifully hideous bowl game ever? Jeez, whatever it was, both our teams share that bizarre history. It was certainly an interceptathon for sure, but someone had to win. If nothing else, just to put the fans and TV audience out of their misery. We won, but were we the better team? Well, we'll find out this week. Both teams are responsible for whatever it was that happened on that field that night. So please, football gods, give us a real game this time so that we can all have a better memory. But on another note, have you heard we hate Bears? I mean, really hate them, especially because we're still a little bitter about what happened in Waco in 2014. Actually, very bitter. But a horned frog is fearless, and though small, in the wild, it's full of might. Horned frogs haven't been around since the age of dinosaurs by being a meek animal like a bear. Ask your vaunted business school what a bear market is on Wall Street. They'll retreat. Horned frogs spit blood at its enemies through their eyes. Look at our offensive line. They aren't small, and then anger these dudes, and they could very well spit blood. We aren't afraid of longhorns, mountaineers with their guns, or wildcats, so we certainly aren't afraid of some bears. So again, Cal Golden Bears, we look forward to welcoming you at the fort and seeing you in the Carter at Saturday afternoon, but considering our 3 years waiting to prove we are, in fact, the better team, being fearless of Bears and the fact that we're completely dominated our first game of the season, you really should fear the frog. Go Frogs. And that is the letter to the opponent. I really got to start reading these things before we start tonight.
That was good.
I kind of like the dry run. We're still alive.
You do good, Sean.
Well, thank you. Well, we'll have another one for next week for the SMU game. That ought to be interesting and probably full of allusions to iron skillets, of which we had better bring back, and then maybe we'll just stop playing SMU altogether. Who knows?
Maybe CJK5H. Who knows?
Maybe, you know. Yes. Well, we'll have
to. We want to bring awareness to those women.
I will have to dust off my shirt because that is certainly a topic that requires a lot of awareness, Hunter. So we'll talk about that next week, and that'll be fun. And of course, again, next week, be on the lookout both for our social media and on the board, because we will definitely post the location of our live podcast for next week, sometime this week. So that way you can come over and join us. And if you've never been to one of our live podcasts, we used to do those every single week leading up to a few years ago. And so we're bringing them back by popular demand. So it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have a lot of horned frogs out there, a lot of food, a lot of libations. It's going to be a great time. So keep your eye out on all of our social media, and we'll let you know the location, and you can come and join us next Monday night. All right, so with that, I think we are done for the night. I'm getting the thumbs up from Ryan. All right, so we are appreciative to everybody who is out there listening to us on, let's see, we're on Google Play, Apple Podcasts. We will be joining Spotify soon for that. And of course, if we wouldn't mind it if you would please give us a 5-star review on at least Apple Podcast, because it does help the podcast become discoverable. I went in there, read some of the reviews last week, and thank you guys very much for those. So with that, we've come to the end of our podcast. It's time we all get our frogs up, and we get to say,
Go Frogs.
Go Frogs.
Beat the other Bears. Can we call them the Commie Bears? No? Just the Bears.
Do it.